I'm Frank Vaughn. It is Monday, February 3rd, 2025, and today I want to start out with an opening statement. It's a tweet of mine. The scariest outcome to this trade war would be the return of the status quo. That Canada doesn't fix its crime problem, that Confederation doesn't get reworked, that our streets remain filled with fence zombies and meth heads. I've made new videos, but this one should be seen. I'm going to call it the sword video. If you haven't watched the sword video, you should start there and then maybe make a journey through the rest of my work. I fear that we will come to an agreement with the United States prematurely to avoid most of the pain, and I understand that that would be good for the people. But I worry that we as a nation, so complacent and apathetic as we are, so ill-informed and so ignorant, and I use the word ignorance not as an insult, but to denote a state of being, that we are ignorant of the knowledge, that we are ignoring the knowledge, that we will go back to sleep, and that even though the United States would enjoy more security, Canada would still be filled with all of the problems I've been highlighting. President Trump's primary concern is with the well-being and the welfare of Americans. And if he can solve problems for Americans, he's not too concerned about solving problems for Mexicans and Canadians. Reading, I just spoke with President Claudia Sheinbaum of Mexico. It was a very friendly conversation wherein she agreed to immediately supply 10,000 Mexican soldiers on the border separating Mexico and the United States. These soldiers will be specifically designated to stop the flow of fentanyl and illegal migrants into our country. We further agreed to immediately pause the anticipated tariffs for 1 month, period, during which we will have negotiations headed by Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Scott Bessent, Howard Lutnick, and high-level representatives of Mexico. I look forward to participating in those negotiations. The Mexicans folded because over 80% of their business goes to the United States. You have to understand that though the problems with Canada and Mexico share commonalities, the scale and the way they are diversified is very different. With Mexico, it's about mass illegal immigration and it's about drugs. If Trump can solve both of those things without having to bomb Mexico, without having to take out the cartels, which might still be on the table, maybe the Mexicans will ask for American help. Trump is dead serious about solving this problem on the southern border. Now, the problem on the northern border, though it has commonalities, is different. The president is making it very clear and very straightforward. There's not much in the way of hidden meaning. Canada doesn't even allow U.S. banks to open or do business there. What's that all about? Many such things, but it's also a drug war. Drug war, in caps. Think about what I've been talking about in my videos. And hundreds of thousands of people have died in the U.S. from drugs pouring through our borders, through the borders of Mexico and Canada. Just spoke to Trudeau. We'll talk to him again at 3 p.m. I have shown you unmitigated proof that the drug trade in Canada is far more expansive than the mainstream media, the government, and many influencers are willing to admit. It is demonstrably and provably massive. If you don't believe the evidence of your eyes in every single Canadian city, you need to believe the statistics. And I provided them in my videos. Please go check them out, particularly the sword video. Now, before we go ahead and put more meat on the bones when it comes to the case that Canada has a massive corruption and criminality problem. And if you can believe it, there is more meat to put on these bones. There's so much that it's hard to sort out what to tell you first. I just want to remind everybody, and whether you think this is right or not, whether you think this is necessary to protect Canadian industry, when the Americans import, or I should say export to Canada, we import it, they have to pay a 270% tariff on milk, a 245% tariff on cheese, a 298% tariff on butter, a 238% tariff on chicken. This is what the Americans already have to pay to do business with Canada. So all of the outrage needs to get shelved, whether you think this is justified or not. This is trying to protect Canadian agriculture. But it's also already costing Canadians massive amounts of money on their grocery bills. And I'm not going to argue about whether or not it should be that way. I think having an agricultural economy that is fortified and self-sufficient is something a government is well served to steward. you want to be resilient because we're in a situation right now where we import most of our winter foods from the United States and you're starting to pay more money for them because our government doesn't want to deal with our rampant drug problem, our terrorism problem, and our money laundering problem. But just keep in mind, we're already paying. One of the things the majority of Canadians excel at is doing what they're told and being outraged when they're told to be outraged. Canadians crying over a 25% tariff with the USA, but ignoring the 20% carbon tax increase on April 1st. Mark Carney insists that our carbon tax is too low. Now, I know since he started running for leader and he wants to become the globalist prime minister of this country, he has said he wants to replace the carbon tax, which he supported right up until he entered the leadership, just the same as the rest of the leadership candidates who supported the carbon tax and told you it was making you richer, all of a sudden want to change it. Canadians, I know how propagandized you are, but I don't believe the majority of people are foolish enough to buy it. The fact is, your government is robbing you blind through inflation, through taxation, and now through the tariffs that they are applying to the United States. When you see the price of your food increase, it is not American tariffs that are doing that to you. It is the retaliatory tariffs of Justin Trudeau, Jagmeet Singh, Pierre Poilievre, and Doug Ford, and all of Team Canada. The more they apply, the more expensive it gets for you to acquire basics. Always keep in the back of your mind as you pay more for everything and the dollar collapses and the value of your savings and what they can buy decreases, that our leaders are rallying around the status quo when it comes to the giant share of our GDP, our gross domestic product, that is derived from money laundering and drug trafficking. It is so big. I put a number of 10 to 12% of GDP on it. It's probably low. Look at the sword video. It's so big that it is the biggest single factor in the rapid rise of real estate prices. This is something I've learned recently. You talk about mass immigration. You talk about a lack of housing supply. The thing that I wasn't talking about was the impact of money laundering, because I didn't even realize how huge an effect it has on our economy. Meanwhile, Ed Krasenstein is probably the most leftist shill that you will find in the United States and on X. Facts don't matter to this guy. He will shill for the Democrats no matter what they are doing. And Doug Ford is becoming a hero to the American left. This so-called conservative is running an election right now in Ontario. In the middle of this crisis, he's triggered an election. And he's trying to bill himself as the savior of Ontario, but he's actually just making Ontarians suffer, as I've highlighted. Cutting off the $100 million contract with Elon Musk, I told Ford back in 2018 that he had to let the Americans in because all of the billions of dollars that we have poured into BCE and ExplorNet has delivered, if you get service, sketchy intermittent service to the Canadian public. Starlink was already doing it. So he finally, after all the years and all the hundreds of millions since 2018 that they've poured into things like the Eastern Ontario Regional Network and other things that just launder money or just funnel money into these corporations, they finally cut a deal with Starlink. So he's going to cancel it. And that means that Ontarians have terrible internet. Isn't that wonderful? So not only can you not afford to eat, but now you have to deal with clunky internet. It's fantastic. He's going to ban all American companies from bidding on provincial contracts. Do you think that Canadian companies, what there are left, because most of our companies are owned by Americans outright. I see so many memes online talking about buying Canadian, and they list companies that are just subsidiaries of American companies, because Doug Ford, Justin Trudeau, and governments back decades have sold off everything in this country. They talk about Donald Trump being a threat to our sovereignty. Our leaders are the biggest threat to our sovereignty. It's not just drugs. It's not just money laundering. Those things are horrible enough as it is. They have gutted our manufacturing sector. They have gutted our resource sector. They have sold us all off, and they want to parade around as Team Canada. It's disgusting. As I've talked about the massive scale of illegality in this country, let's talk about some of what it's funding. And let's pay attention. The United States knows Canada's dirty little secret, and they want something done about it. In 2023, there were 484 encounters from Canada for terrorist watch list members, people who are on the terrorist watch list. 484 encounters from Canada compared to just 80 from Mexico. Many people who try to refute this massive body of material that I am putting together and others like Sam Cooper are putting together often say the massive illegal immigration from Mexico is it's from Mexico and it is not from Canada. But 500% more terrorists try to get into the United States from Canada than from Mexico. You need to ask why. It's because they can come here, get in this country nice and easily. I highlighted in a previous video how cartels have stolen hundreds of thousands of blank passports from Canada. I have highlighted how we have our human smuggling problem has lower numbers, but it is far more sophisticated. Mexicans and the Mexican problem, they mass rush across the border, and a lot of those people are just poor people trying to flee their own governments. It will tear down the United States. It has to stop, but they're desperate. The people that Canada is sending into the United States are much more powerful. They're going down there to engage in crime and criminality, and they are terrorists. And this is just 484 in 2023. These are people who are on the list. Imagine the people that haven't been identified who are slipping across our border. They're driving trucks full of drugs, fentanyl, methamphetamine. They are bringing guns back. I've seen Joe Warmington talking about guns coming into Canada and how the United States should do more about that. But he doesn't link in this article how those guns being smuggled back into Canada, what pays for them, and that some of these guns end up on container ships and are exported to places like Australia and other places that have tough gun laws. It's a two-way trade for sure, but the poison is Canada. And please don't get me wrong, Joe Warmington is one of the last great journalists in this country, whether you agree with him all the time or not. He's one of the good ones, so don't get me wrong. This is the U.S. State Department. This is a document they published in 2020. I picked 2020 because I want you to understand this is an ongoing problem that the Americans are very aware of. In a highly sophisticated way, they know everything that's wrong with Canada. People often ask, why doesn't Trump just say it out loud? He doesn't have to. He can slow roll the narrative. He's saying enough with what he's doing, and he's giving Canada a chance to be responsive and to change the trajectory. Instead, we are lining ourselves up for a trade war to protect what is going on in these reports. Now, rather than read all the specific instances, I'll remind you that we reward Omar Khadrs of the world with millions of dollars. And oftentimes the people who are caught up in our justice system end up getting off on technicalities, or they don't do any jail time, because not only do we have two-tier sentencing in this country, if you have more skin pigment than the next person, you're going to have a reduced sentence, but we also have very loose bail conditions. We don't even know who's here. I mean, you look at just the trucking industry, for instance. We talk about porous borders. We may not be sending as many people into the United States as the Mexicans are, but the people that we're sending there are much more sophisticated. It's a much more sophisticated operation. So we have trucking companies in Canada that self-license their drivers. I'm not making that up. So they bring somebody in from overseas that can't even read the road signs. They license them. They slap them at the head of a semi-truck, and then they fill it full of drugs, and they go off running across Canada into the United States. And conservatively, 1 in 40 are getting caught. It's probably a lot less. But let's just say 1 in 40 are getting caught. They're killing people on our highways because they can't drive. Highway 11 and Highway 17 in Ontario are deadly. So deadly that I want to take my family back there one day, but I don't want to drive on the roads. Everybody knows this problem, but your government, which is lining up behind this trade war to protect these practices, which aren't only dangerous to Canadians, they're also exploiting the people that are being brought in and put in these positions. These are modern-day slaves, indentured servitude. They have very little choice. They're trying to better their future, so they do things they shouldn't do. This is just another layer of the problem with Canada. Rather than go through every one of these terrorist instances, I just want you to note the length of the document. This is just a summary of the terrorism that's going on in Canada, the 500% more that I'm talking about from Mexico. This is part of what cartel influence in Canada. The Chinese Communist Party building their police stations, which aren't about enforcing the law, but are about enforcing the norms when it comes to the manufacture of drugs, human trafficking, and their influence here. It is so big and dirty. Now, there's only been a couple of people, but there has been some astute observations when it comes to the sword video that maybe I shouldn't have added the money laundering figure and the drug trafficking figure together, because a portion of the drug trafficking would be part of the money laundering figure. You are right. But as I said in that video, I didn't account for the rise in Canada's population. I didn't account for the lax law enforcement. I didn't account, because I derived the figure from 2007 numbers, I didn't account for the fact that in 2007, the cities weren't full of fent zombies and meth heads. And now every single city in Canada is overrun. I didn't account for the cultural shift. I didn't account for a lot of things that would be a positive factor in the number. And one of the things I didn't account for is what I'm about to read. I think the whole thing's a wash. I think 10 to 12% of GDP is a very conservative estimate, with the reality probably settling about one-fifth of the gross domestic product of Canada derived from criminality. I think that's about accurate, but we'll go with 10 to 12% because it's bad enough on its own. We don't need to inflate that number. From Kiev with fraud, why Canada is the main target of investment scammers. They mentioned Kiev one more time, and then they switched to Eastern Europe because, I don't know, maybe they just forgot to edit out the word Kiev. And look at Prime Minister Trudeau. Isn't he so beautiful? Isn't he just that hair just flowing in the wind? And how can this guy be so bad if he's got such a smile? Electing that smile is the worst thing we've ever done. But I digress. It's not enough at all for us to be depleting our military, to send what little we have left to Ukraine so that they can use it in a war, uselessly killing off an entire generation of Ukrainians trying to fight the Russian war machine. It's a losing war. They're losing territory every single day. And the longer it goes on, the worse their position gets. Part of it is because Zelensky's lost the mandate of the public. He's very unpopular in Ukraine. He couldn't win an election to save his life, which is why he canceled the elections. People are sick of dying. They're sick of the war, a war that could have been avoided easily. I've covered that in other videos. I'm not going to get into it too deep here. It's not enough that we are spending billions and billions of dollars, funneling it not into the Ukrainian army. We're giving it to the Ukrainian government. A lot of that money is ending up in the pockets of politicians and the corrupt officials in Ukraine. It's not even finding its way to the front line. Money that is borrowed in your name and in your children's name because Canada doesn't have it. We're spending record deficits. We are falling into debt. And we're funneling money into this huge laundromat called Ukraine. But that's not enough. A huge center of fraud, a number that isn't factored into my equation about criminality in Canada, is Ukraine itself. It's not just East Indian call center scammers that are coming after you. It is Ukrainians. And even though the CBC, which is a government mouthpiece, if you're out there right now complaining about Russia television and other state media or NPR, and you're getting your news from CBC, it is 100% government-funded, pure state propaganda, an arm of the Liberal Party, part of the communistic structure that is Canada. It's time we wake up to the myth of Canada as this bastion of freedom. The only people who think we are a bastion of freedom, the only people who think that we are not a center of corruption are those who are in on it and benefit from it. These agencies, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations that publish these reports that celebrate those who cooperate with the global cartel. I digress. My only point here is it's not enough for them to rob us officially. They're also robbing us unofficially through these investment scams. And that number is not factored into any of the totals I've provided. And just so you understand the scale, if you go to Global News and you just do a search for money laundering in Canada, you get a plethora of articles that goes on and on and on, because it's a common problem. Millions and millions and millions of dollars are caught every single year. And for every dollar we catch, there are $20, $30, $40, $50, $100 that we aren't catching. The whole TD Bank thing, it's not the first bank to get caught money laundering, but we only know about what we catch. The books are so big. There's a lot of stuff hidden in plain sight, and we've covered a lot of it. We have a BC man helped launder tens of millions in criminal cash, $50 million over a two-year period. That's $25 million a year. That's one instance. When you consider the RCMP has identified 4,000 criminal networks operating here in Canada, are you starting to get it? You're starting to understand the scale of it? And then you have Ebi, one of the dirtiest premiers in this entire country. They just, as far as I'm concerned, they just stole the BC election from Rustad. It's being litigated. And I hope it gets litigated to the fullest possible extent because I believe BC does not have the right premier right now. I said it on election night. You could see the telltale signs of it. But I digress. Special prosecutor decides against charges in BC money laundering investigation. You would not believe how many things are caught in BC, and somehow the government and the legal, the legalities, the bureaucracy ends up getting involved, and it magically disappears, and it gets swept under the rug, and the media barely talks about it, and Canadians are so propagandized and asleep at the wheel that they don't dig. They don't bother to figure it out. The whole thing I talked about, walking into a casino with bags of cash and walking out with cashier's checks, walking into banks and doing the same thing. You could write a book just on it. In fact, Sam Cooper did write a book on it, Willful Blindness. Check it out. But I want to talk about one other thing. Sharp rise in reports of sexual crimes against children further underscores need for Canadian online safety laws. The trafficking of children in Canada is big business. The exploitation sexually of children in Canada is big business. I don't even know how to begin to try and compute a number. How priceless a child is. How priceless a child is that there are people out there so evil that they would take them and put a price on their heads. They all deserve to die. Every pedophile, every person that would engage in this activity should be shot flat out, legally, through a process. But that's where they should end. Making or distribution of child pornography, incidents have increased by 7,200 cases, representing an 80% increase compared to the previous year. We've been in an uptrend for a long time when it comes to the exploitation of children. I would note that non-consensual distribution of intimate images and incidents only comprises 472 cases. So people who are doing vengeance posting because you're so stupid you film yourselves having sex, you're stupid enough to take pictures, and then they end up online when somebody gets angry. That's only happening 472 times compared to 7,200 case increase. Doesn't even give you the total, an 80% increase in child exploitation. Possession of or accessing child pornography, which is a separate column, increased by 563 cases, representing a 12% increase from the previous year. So you can do some math on that, and you arrive at a figure of 5,000 cases per year, and that's just what's getting caught. So if we take our math that we applied to every pound of drugs that's seized at the border, or seized in Canada, not just at the border, seized in Canada, versus every pound that they estimate through official sources actually gets through, and we apply even a conservative estimate to this issue, we arrive at a figure that's at least 10 times higher, probably much higher. I had a person talk about how they were at the Edmonton Mall, which used to be a staple of the Alberta economy. If you went to Alberta, you went and you saw the West Edmonton Mall. It was a spectacle to be beheld. When I was a child, I used to dream, alongside Canada's Wonderland, I dreamed about seeing the West Edmonton Mall. First off, I wouldn't go near Edmonton. Second of all, if I went to Edmonton, I'm not going anywhere near the West Edmonton Mall. I read this account. A father is there with his daughter, and she's got to go pee. So into the bathroom, he sends her into the female bathroom. A little bit of time goes by. She doesn't come out. He waits because he doesn't want to In spite of the fact that men roam free in women's facilities all over this country, which is an issue I really want to get back to. I got a whole pile of tabs open. I want to talk about the DEI insanity of Canada, but I don't have time, and you only have so much time, so I just have to tell you the very important things that are important and pertinent right now. She doesn't come out. So he finally goes in. She's nowhere to be seen. He panics. He comes out. He's looking around. And a shoe. He sees his daughter's shoe sticking out of a stroller. So he runs up and he accosts these two women. There's his daughter. Within minutes, they drugged her. They shaved her head. They shoved her in a stroller. And off she went. And if he hadn't have found her, she would have been sold into slavery. It's not factored into my number. We're talking about inhumanity. This is also part of organized crime here in Canada. This is also what Doug Ford and Justin Trudeau and Team Canada are rallying behind when they impose tariffs that don't penalize Americans. They penalize you. The price increase that you're feeling, the more that you're paying as your money evaporates, is to defend this. Children should be sacrosanct. And anybody who would violate that sanctity should meet the full wrath of God. This is an article. There's so much here, actually. This is by the numbers, look back at Canadian finance in 2024. I could do a full video just on this article, but what I'm going to focus on here is $4.45 billion is what TD Bank Group paid to the U.S. government for its oversight failures on anti-money laundering controls. That's a really cool way of saying getting caught laundering billions of dollars. $246 billion is Royal Bank of Canada's market capitalization as of last Friday of the year after an almost 30% climb in 2024 because they bought HSBC, which has been caught laundering money. Every bank's in on it. But the most important number is this one. There is a, well, I should get it so you can see it. That's what I should do first. There's a gem here. 0.2%. The mortgage delinquency rate in Canada at the end of the third quarter, according to Equifax Canada. That's up from a historically low 0.14% 2 years ago, but still far below the 0.3% that it averaged in the years before the pandemic. Banks expect delinquencies to creep higher next year as job losses grow, but say overall they're comfortable with the mortgage portfolios. It'll climb all right if this trade war continues. And I, quite honestly, I hope it does. I know it's painful. I know people would like to avoid it. But if our politicians capitulate and Trump gives us a deal, he fixes a large chunk of the American problem if Canada negotiates. But Canada will be left once again with broken confederation, with the massive problems that I've been highlighting. Nothing gets fixed here. And I'm worried the Canadian public, which is just starting to wake up to these problems. Most people are unaware. I am shocked how well my videos are doing and how almost everybody that encounters them has the same experience that I had. Their minds are blown at the scale. I don't want this to go away. We have to fix Canada. We cannot allow ourselves to forget what we've learned. The country is pathetic. It's broken. It's politically, it's not inept. It's a plan. We're broken. I'd like to see it fixed. But 0.2%. In light of the fact the vast majority of Canadians are priced out of the market by money laundering, in 2018, as you've seen in a previous video, 5% of the price rise in housing was derived just from $7 billion being injected into the Vancouver housing market. That's 1 year, that's 2018. Do you think it's gotten worse or do you think it's gotten better since 2018? So you're priced out of the market by criminal activity. That's what's happening. So you can't afford a house. You can barely afford to eat. We got people living in cars and in tents that aren't vent zombies and meth heads. Yet somehow, only 0.2% of mortgages are delinquent. So, A housewife from China comes along, buys up 30 condo units, multiple houses. If you read through my comments, if you want to go do some sleuthing, there's some mortgage brokers that have chimed in on this. There's a lot of fakery. There's a lot of fake income. There's a lot of inflated number. There's money laundering. There's fraud. It's widespread. It's going on everywhere. So the only people who can afford the mortgages are those who are laundering money on behalf of criminal organizations and cartels. The reason the mortgage delinquency rate is so low on these houses that none of you can afford is because they have a constant stream of illegal income. Drug money, human trafficking, you name it, if it's illegal, auto theft, all the things I didn't account for in my previous video. They're being fed to the bank, and the bank is collecting interest on those payments, making a tidy profit. It's all in their bottom line every single year. They're getting caught for a little bit of it. We would call that a loss leader. But that's why. You can't afford a home. You can't even dream of a home. And yet nobody's going bankrupt. One last word of warning today. Do not underestimate the resolve of Donald Trump this time around. He campaigned in 2016 and 2015 on getting rid of the deep state, but he tripped and fell headfirst into it and was mired. And it's a miracle he got done what he'd done in the first term. Then the second, 2020 came around, he was robbed. He was robbed. If you haven't sat through the hearings, if you haven't read the transcripts, if you haven't read the testimony, if you haven't actually examined all the court cases that went on, how much fraud was actually found, and how the Republican Party spent the last 4 years, and I have no love of all the Republicans. I'm just saying they spent, the RNC under Lara Trump, spent a lot of time making sure election integrity was in better shape in 2024, still has massive problems, but it was in better shape. He was shot at. He was openly defied. The legal warfare that went on against this man, whether you like him or not, whether you agree or not, he's on a mission. He has taken a battle axe to the federal government in the United States, disbanding U.S. aid, stopping foreign aid to Ukraine and South Africa, naming in South Africa the fact that there's a genocide going on against white landowners. Not only is the land being expropriated, they're being shot and killed off. There isn't a leader in Canada, not Polyev, not Trudeau, not Singh, that will talk about what's happening in South Africa. Trump's not only talking about it, he's doing something about it. He's very literal in his public messaging. You can read into it. There was a video clip of him I was going to show, but I'm not going to bother because we've already got the point today. You can read into his words. He says more than he says, but the things that he's saying are obvious. He's telling you up front exactly what it is he intends to do. He's signaling to the world his very honest intent. And when I say honest intent, I mean he's saying what he means to do. When it comes to Mexico, there's a different set of problems than there are with Canada. Canada's problems aren't so easily solved because our government is married to those problems. Some would say it is benefiting directly from those problems. One thing is certain. Everything that we're doing up here encourages criminal cartels to make vast sums of money and to displace and disenfranchise everybody that's working for a living and paying their taxes and being good Canadians. The government is persecuting hunters and legal gun owners, but they're allowing gangbangers who shoot people and kill people and rob people and steal your cars and make your life a suffering in the cities. They turn them loose. They go to court and they get turned loose on loose bail conditions. They get picked up days later and they get turned loose again. You have safe supply. You have safe injection sites. You have talk about decriminalizing all hard drugs. Why? To make the crime easy to hide and conceal in plain sight. The people in China, the people in India who are taking advantage of Canada, they want our society weak. They want us dying off. They want our families destroyed. They want us addicted to drugs. They want to be able to extract from the resource colony that we are the maximum amount of profit that they can. And while doing it, use us as a bridgehead in North America to undermine the sovereignty of the United States. Now, I'm glad I didn't forget to do this, because this is really important. I find myself wishing I had to put this earlier in the video. This is from Bob's Sherpa, at Bob's Sherpa. J.D. Vance posted today that there are three stages to addressing this, meaning the trade dispute with Canada. The first was through a discussion, which didn't work. We are now in the second stage, which is economic penalties, but he did not specify what the third stage is. The third stage is kinetic. I'm going to tell you that Chapter 27 of the USMCA requires that each country is required to establish criminal offenses for acts of corruption, like bribery of public officials, embezzlement, and money laundering when committed in relation to international trade or investment. It requires that bribery, something we know has happened here in Canada, even beyond the Foreign Interference Commission's whitewash, that wasn't a commission, it was just a review, they whitewashed it. But we know it's happening. We know money laundering is a significant percentage of our GDP. The bottom line is everything that I've been highlighting, the Americans know as well, and they probably know in far more detail than some pleb with a computer. So the USMCA specifies enforcement action, but it doesn't specify what that might look like. Now, there's another little piece of legislation that the United States has, and it is called the War Powers Resolution or the War Powers Act. And it talks about hostilities between countries, whereby the president could deploy troops to Mexico, could potentially even deploy troops to Canada, and I'm not saying he's going to do that. I'm talking about J.D. Vance's third stage, which he didn't specify. Can deploy without Congress for a period of up to 60 days before getting congressional approval. So the president has the power to respond to threats kinetically, without approval from Congress, under a set of circumstances. Now, what are those circumstances legalistically? The United States has declared a series of national emergencies. They've declared a national emergency when it comes to energy. They've declared a national emergency when it comes to cartels. And they've declared a national emergency when it comes to illegal immigration. Everybody thinks that these national emergencies only apply to Mexico. They apply to Canada. They apply to all of America's enemies. So, we're not there yet. It is Trump's ball. It's his narrative to build, because there have been some who have asked, why doesn't Trump just say all this plainly? Even if he did, the Canadian public is remarkably resistant to facts. And nobody would listen to him anyway, because anything the orange man says, 60% of Canada reactively responds negatively to. And for any Americans that are watching this, I just want to say, the majority of the people who respond that way to the orange man live in Ontario and Quebec. Have a little bit of mercy for the rest of us. Because a lot of us out here in Alberta and Saskatchewan, we understand reality a lot better. We're married to it. Living in this environment, living in this climate requires that we can't bury our head in the sand as easily as other people, because the ground is frozen solid 6 months of the year. But again, I digress. If Canada cuts off energy supplies to the United States, cuts off critical minerals, all while we are exporting drugs, all while we are exporting terrorism, all while our officials are engaged in mass corruption, I'm not saying this is going to happen. But there is a scenario where the president might feel himself legally justified to engage in a kinetic response. Keep that in mind. If you like the work, please go to the website and consider supporting it. And for those of you who have, I thank you very deeply. I come very cheap, and this is a full-time job. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.